my first and second times were, I think, the ideal first and second times you can have as a comedian to motivate you to keep going. Because my first time, it was at District House, the open mic, the public access open mic that Rainey used to run. I went up and I did great. Not great, but you know what I mean. Everyone was very nice about it, and I got a few laughs. Then my second time was at Othello's. I didn't realize before that you could measure shit in minutes, but I ate 5 full minutes of shit. Nothing, like, yeah, it just wasn't working. I was nervous, but also too confident to, like, do good, you know what I mean? Because I was like, well, I'm great at this. Well, I don't know if they'll like it, but I clearly know what I'm doing here. This is my second time. I crushed it last night. I'll be great. And I wasn't. I just died. And then I went off, and I wasn't crushed, really. I was just like, okay, good. That means I didn't beat it the first time. It's something that I have to get better at, and that's good because I'm not usually willing to work to get better at a thing. But since I have to do comedy forever, I guess that's the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the Voice of the Artist Podcast.
Welcome and welcome back to the Voice of the Artist Podcast. In this podcast, we interview artists from all walks of life to get their perspective on their art form so we, as both artists and art enthusiasts, can be looking at art differently. My name is Daniel Aaron Austin. I am your host. In this episode, Alex and I kind of sit down and riff and talk about how he came to be a very witty comedian and then eventually go on to lead a podcast after being on a few, actually. That's how I found out about him. The guy who, quote unquote, made me the podcaster that I am today, Mr. Dalton Stewart, he was on his show that I was also on, The People's History of Film, and that's how I found about Mr. Alex Sanchez. We connected online because he's a funny internet personality, and I've just been following him forever, and I couldn't help but have him on the podcast because he's just hilarious. He's an absolute treat to listen to, and I think you guys will all enjoy hearing his journey as an artist and to see where he is now. And he's just a genuinely awesome person. So please enjoy Mr. Alex Sanchez's voice on the Voice of the Artist podcast. We'll see you in the interview portion. You did say something that you enjoyed trash even back then, and yeah. To kind of lightly tap on this before we introduce you proper,
sure.
I hear that your podcast is now a part of the Good Trash Media Network.
That is true. Yeah,
that's very cool. I love their stuff.
Yeah.
I've been a long time. I think I actually have a magnet around here somewhere that says I liked the Good Trash Media Network before it was cool. Whenever they were doing their Patreon run, which they're still doing actually, but. Yeah, I got all the good stuff and the postcards.
Hell
and
yeah.
All. Yeah. I still have all of the, you know, their propaganda as well.
Good.
But before we get too deep into this, I'm going to let you introduce yourself proper in whatever way you feel most comfortable.
My name is Alex Sanchez. I'm here from the internet.
You stepped out of the internet?
I stepped out of the internet to come do this. And when we're done, I'm going to go right back in. I'm logging right on. I'm a local comedian, run an open mic, bad at talking about myself.
And thank you for that.
Yeah.
No, I think you did it perfectly.
Thank you.
Are you familiar with the comedian Steve Zaragoza by any chance?
No.
No, man. There's a little bit of the delivery that in that reminded me of him. I'll send you some links later.
Please post it
in the post itself.
There we go.
Well, I found you actually on the internet. I found you on the internet, through through all of the people that we kind of know in common.
Sure.
I also know your co-host also through the same social media means.
Yeah.
I think I heard you initially on Dalton Stewart's podcast.
Yeah.
People's History of Film. Weren't you like one of the first 5 people on there, or if not the first episode?
I don't think I was that early on, but I was a pretty early, I think probably first thing.
But that's how I was kind of introduced into you, Heath, and Nick Sanford is through good old Good Trash Media.
Oh yeah,
which you're now a part of. But give me the elevator pitch for your podcast, which is on the Good Trash Media Network.
Well, folks, it's called The Praise Down, and it's just me and Heath Huffman talking about Christian music. Neither one of us are really currently subscribed to that particular loot box, but like we both grew up in it. You know, we were both sort of church kids. spent a lot of time in it, and so we've got a lot of knowledge that we're not doing anything with. And it's something that people specifically around here, everybody's got background with at least one Christian band. So we figured we'd talk about that until we run out.
There you go, until you run out. And I also really appreciate that you calling it a loot box, because you subscribe to a general idea each month.
Right.
With a loot box, you're like, it's Kingdom, or there might be Zelda in there, right, or something, or whatever. But you get all these ancillary things, all these little extra items that you didn't
exactly
really sign up for. Right. Bless
right
that.
Exactly. Praise that.
Praise that. Sorry.
Praise that.
Praise that. My bad. You can tell that I am not your number one fan, but I do enjoy it all the same.
It's okay. Even if you're our number five fan, that still puts you... you make up exactly 10% of our fan base, so that works.
Well, I think that's the fun thing about getting into your local podcasts, mm-hmm, is because you're actually reaching out and touching people, even though you may be from the internet. You're from,
sure,
the local internet.
That's very true.
And so I can reach out and touch the people that are on these podcasts in whatever way I see fit, you know,
yeah,
because, you know,
it's personal. It's interactive. It's, you
exactly
know. That's why we like to, lately we've been including a hashtag that people can tweet at the show. Like last week's was hashtag is Frieza horny.
Oh yes, I believe you said that your show is exactly 50% horny.
Yeah.
That was one of the little sound bites that I took, yeah, away from it. And no, I very much appreciated listening to that, especially whenever we're talking about Christian topics.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this show is exactly 50%
exactly
horny.
It's not too, we try not to get too into it, but you know.
I feel that a lot of times, you know, whenever you're dealing with Christian bands, most of the times it's targeted towards the teen experience.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, what is the teen experience without being insatiably horny?
That's
and then
the
feeling
thing
extremely guilty about it.
That's the thing. Christian teen music is, it just by virtue of being for teens, it's inherently at least like a quarter horn.
Yeah. It's just how it works out. And especially, I think, because most of the people that are even though they're Christian artists, they also have to doll themselves up in some small way.
Right.
And, you know, you think it would be a little bit more, I don't know. I grew up in the, on 90s music, not
yeah
in the 90s really.
Sure.
But the people just were so much more grungy back
oh
then.
Yeah.
Or they were really dressed up. There was nothing
yeah
in between. It's
or
either
yeah
pantsuit or ripped jeans.
Yeah.
And just look like you just walked out of a garbage can.
Yeah.
But these days, you know, you got like you got Reliant K and stuff like that, that all kind of like, you know, they look alternative, not necessarily,
but
yeah,
they look like 2004 alternative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, they looked manicured.
Right. Yeah. Right.
In themselves. And I think that really contributes to the whole horny atmosphere,
yeah,
you know, because you're like, oh, you look good, but I shouldn't think that.
Right.
But that being said, as with most people, I try and stalk people on the internet.
Sure.
Just because it's fun. And I also like reminding people of what they did. Even though this isn't too long ago, I just like to remind people, we offered you an assortment of beverages prior to, you know,
yes,
sitting down and grabbing the mic. And I really apologize that I didn't have soda on hand. because it seems that you are a fan of soda. Am I correct in saying that?
I guess, yeah. Is it that I tweeted at Chris Begethard if he had tried the recent caramel Pepsi?
No, not specifically
okay
that one. I believe you started your own thread and
okay
then responding
oh
to yourself.
Yeah, that was an insane. I went crazy on Twitter that day.
Can you give us a little bit of context surrounding this
not
tweet
okay
storm?
Well, so I, my girlfriend Jill at her house had some, like a 12 pack of Cokes. And
okay
so I was like, hey, can I have a Coke of Cola? Just cause that's a dumb thing that I would say. And then I just thought of other ones and tweeted them throughout the day.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and read back some transcripts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I believe the one that you started with, if I'm not mistaken here, on December 5th.
Sure.
The quote is from, your name was Dr. Warren Christmas. Is that
yeah
true to this day?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Your first one was drinking a delicious mounting instead of mountain dew. Yes. Mounting dew.
A delicious mounting dew. Having a nice Coke of cola.
Yes, that is that is accurate. That is the following one.
My favorite one was drinking. Well, I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something about having a nice can of my favorite ginger ale.
Yes.
Can of the dry.
Yes. Having a sip of my favorite ginger ale. You were very close, almost on the nose. That was the last one, can of the dry.
Yeah.
To which someone responded, isn't that inherently opposite, like an oxymoron? The middle one and the last one out of the tweet storm being, enjoying a refreshing Sierra Mist.
As M-I-S-S-E-D. That's right. I forgot about that one.
I really enjoyed that. But at the same time, whenever people tweet most of the times, especially personalities a lot, they don't let you know what the context is. And it's a part of the brilliance of it because it's only conjecture at that point.
Right.
You're like, why is this person just tweeting at these things? And I personally like not knowing.
Yeah.
But I also really wanted to know this one. The rest can remain a mystery, but sure. Thank you for indulging
there
me.
Literally no context. I just decided to play a fun game.
Wonderful. And that's the fun part about you being on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just people can reach out. And touch you as you're drinking these made up drinks here. All that being said, I appreciated it. Now,
I don't think I had any soda that day. Also,
just to throw it out there, I didn't have any Coke of cola.
No.
But you asked for one. I'd like a Coke of put it down.
Yeah.
I didn't actually want it.
Right.
I just wanted to
do the joke. Yeah,
yeah. The bit's over. It's fine.
I don't need it.
But we have been kind of touching on one of the things that you've been doing more recently, i.e. the podcast, the Praise Down, which,
sure,
again, as I said, I really enjoy. And also kudos to you guys photoshopping your faces on the power team. I've been trying to talk to fellow Christians and see who remembers the power team.
Yeah.
And it is a select few of people.
Really?
Yes.
I would have thought that would have been way more universal.
Yeah, no. In West Virginia, there's not much else to do other than going to church.
Yeah.
And being a part of the church culture, at least from the select few people that I was around. Or, according to the people that I was talking to, there's either that or meth. So, I mean,
you're on
the right side of things if you're at a church, I guess. So the people that I was talking to, they had no idea who the power team was. And I'm like, this is a staple of thing. You know what TBN is, you know who Bible Man is, VeggieTales,
yeah,
and the power team. Like, those are important pillars of the church.
Oh, God, the power team. I had the power team come to my church and I got a signed cinder block that they broke. I don't know where it is. I looked for it last time I went to Tulsa. Nah.
I think my sister also had a signed piece of the
hell yeah.
Maybe these are, maybe it's less rare than we'd hope for. It depreciated in values much like Beanie Babies of the 90s.
VOTA listeners, if you find a signed power team piece of memorabilia on eBay, send it to me.
He just wants to create a cinder block out of all of the signed pieces.
Yeah, and then smash my head through it.
It's like a Nicolas Cage movie. But I appreciate you saying VOTA like we're a part of the radio network.
Yeah.
KOMA.
Yeah.
No.
Should I have said VOTA? I like VOTA.
Yeah. But I also found out it's a part of fascist propaganda, according to one.
Oh, no.
Recently. So keep that in mind, all you listeners.
I hate to be a part of fascist propaganda.
We were talking about Mussolini earlier, too.
That's true.
But
hey, just real quick to clarify, socialism or barbarism? Sorry, go on.
Okay. So one of the things that, as I was saying, stuck out to me about the naming is that it's Heath and Alex, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying that right. Heath and Alex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the thinking behind that, not going alphabetically? Is it Heath that just has a stronger personality than you?
No.
Or
it comes down to flow.
Oh. Flow.
It's rhythm.
Oh, okay.
Heath and Alex works way better than Alex and Heath. You want to end on that X.
Oh, okay.
Because it stops up your mouth a little bit. It's like.
So did you have like a test group here of people that were like, can you say this for me? Which sounds better? Like, which rolls off the tongue here?
No.
You just had a group of people saying it all at the same time. Like,
no, it literally is just something I'm weird about.
Okay. I was going to blame Heath entirely on this. I'm like, was it alphabetically or was it alpha? alphabetically. Like, he was asserting his dominance over the naming scheme.
I think that the praise down is a rare no alpha situation.
Which I can appreciate.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys, it's a yes and I appreciate all of it. One last thing before I get off on my kissing your podcast's ass.
it doesn't have to be the last thing.
You guys were talking about, you know, the casting couch.
Yeah.
And made a fisherman joke, but then also talked about a lazy wizard casting spells from a couch. All dancing around the actual, you know, like
sure.
casting couch.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. So that was a little tidbit that I
forgot about the wizard on his casting couch. I'm so charmed by it because you know the couch floats.
You're charmed by the floating couch. no, but yeah, if you instead of listening to me butcher, you know, all of the jokes that they're delivering, you can always check them out either in the show notes or just looking at the praise down on Twitter, following mm-hmm. them from there mm-hmm. and all
we're
that kind
on,
of.
We're on iTunes.
Yes. But we're on iTunes.
Don't forget about internet tunes.
Exactly. But also you do the stand up comedy thing.
Yes.
Yes. How's that working out?
I mean, look, it doesn't work out. Like, no, nobody gets into comedy to get it to work out. I just sort of do it because I have to do it or I'll die.
expand
but it's
on
going
that.
Okay.
Larry like, King here. Expand on that.
Well, it's going okay. People like it. But, you know, I'm not making any money at it. There's not... This town hates comedy.
Comedy. Now, it's one of those things that I enjoy but have no idea how it works.
I got it. Yeah.
You see the sausage, you appreciate the sausage. Your sausage tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting off on
no,
a tangent.
Go on.
About sausage.
Go on. Uh-huh.
But it's something that I can't do personally, and I always appreciate the people that are willing to go up there and not only put them like necessarily their heart on their sleeves and getting mm-hmm. on a more serious topic here, but at the same time, they're willing to get up on the mic and, you know, beat their head against the wall in a lot of ways because, I mean, you get up there and you can do do amazing work, but
sure.
there's always going to be those times where you bomb.
Oh yeah.
And I've talked to several comedians that talk about how they have dry months where it's just like you go up there and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
These people are just looking at you having drank three drinks and you're still doing nothing. It's a wall.
Yeah.
And you know, I personally do not have the stamina to do that.
Sure.
You know, let's talk about that. Your beginning phases here.
Like, like when you're just starting?
Exactly. Like compare and contrast that to what was your first few bouts like versus what is it like now? Like, how is it? Compare and contrast those for me.
My first and second times were, I think, the ideal first and second times you can have as a comedian to motivate you to keep going. Because my first time... It was at District House, the open mic, the public access open mic that Rainey used to run. And I went up and I did great. Not great, but you know what I mean. Everyone was very nice about it and I got a few laughs. And then my second time was at Othello's the next night.
Rip Othello's.
Wow, it's coming back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which means Oklahoma City comedy is about to come back together. My second night was at Othello's.
Can they open up just, not Norman? Like, can I just bring it closer to me?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I derailed you.
No, it's okay. I didn't realize before that you could measure shit in minutes, but I ate 5 full minutes of shit.
That's intense.
Yeah.
So expand on that. Like, you ate 5 full minutes of shit. It was just dead silence.
Nothing,
the audience
like,
wasn't giving you anything.
Yeah, it just wasn't working. I was like nervous, but also too confident to like do good. You know what I mean?
That's interesting. That's an interesting state of mind.
Yeah. Because I was like, well, I'm great at this. Well, I don't know if they'll like it, but I, you know, I clearly know what I'm doing here. This is my second time. I crushed it last night. I'll be great. And I wasn't. I just died. And then I went off and I wasn't crushed really. I was just like, okay, good. That means I didn't beat it the first time. Like
you didn't beat what?
It means that it's something that I have to get better at, and that's good because I'm not usually willing to work to get better at a thing. Mm-hmm. But since I have to do comedy forever, I guess that's the one. Yeah.
Exactly. So lead me through. As you said, you were eating 5 full minutes of shit.
Yeah.
How does it feel? Like, okay, whenever I'm under the gun, whenever I'm, you know, like mm-hmm. shooting a film and I know that something's not working, mm-hmm. it just feels like everything past that is mm-hmm. multiplying. Yeah. I can only imagine being up there delivering a joke and then it not working. And then the next one is like, okay, this is times 2, times 3. The stress in my stomach. Like, what is it like for you whenever you said you were eating the
it's actually it's diminishing returns a little bit in terms of how bad you feel, because you start out at a certain point, you just realize that this is how it's going to go, and you just go through the rest of your jokes like kind of hoping that one will stick but knowing that it probably won't, and there's a kind of freedom there. And once you Matt Rainey's great at this, once you kind of cut yourself free of caring about that, he and Madison Allen are both amazing once the crowd has checked out. Like at a bar show or something, there's nobody else in the world that I want than those two guys.
They know it's just for them at that point versus having to cater to an audience?
Once the audience checks out, there's a certain... It's possible to get to fight them a little bit in a way that they find charming. Yeah.
Okay. This is an interesting strategy. Okay. All right. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, the thing is, I'm not very good at it.
It's something you're learning.
Right.
Okay.
It's like when you deal with kids and there's one that just does not respect you, but you like him a lot because you can tell he's smart.
Okay.
It's like when you finally get tough with him and then he respects you and then you're friends. I don't know if you've ever done that.
I mean, I used to work at a daycare once upon a time, and so that's something I tried but never succeeded at.
There was there was one kid that I had to, when I was babysitting, I was like 14, but I had to physically wrestle him to the ground.
You're physically asserting your dominance at that point.
Yeah, because he was like coming at me and climbing on me, and I was like, nope, this isn't going to work. I just held him down, and I was like, okay, are we going to be cool now? Because I've got some cool stuff to show. I got a book about animals in the car. Like, we're going to be cool here. And he was like, all right. And then we were best friends, and I gave him the book about animals like a year later. I love this kid.
So you gained his respect through having a prop.
Basically, yeah.
How important is props to comedy?
Sometimes it's vital.
To gaining the respect of someone, you absolutely must have a rubber chicken, is what you're saying.
Well, that only works on, like, my grandpa. But
he's like, oh, yes, the comedy from the 40s.
You're right.
Oh, it's a fine wine.
Yeah. Oh, a joy buzzer. Now, a joy buzzer genuinely does never get old.
That's wonderful. So you guys on the podcast, this is what I'm able to go through because,
sure.
I mean, like, I know you guys through the podcast.
Yeah.
I may know you on the social media circles that we kind of have.
Sure.
We rub elbows, so to speak, through friends and stuff like that. Like, I have friends. You are a friend of a friend, really. I feel like I know you a little bit more because you do post so much. And
yeah.
I get a sense of your comedy through both your podcast and your social media. And I think that's something that's underrated, really. Knowing people on social media, knowing them through the internet, you living on the internet.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Never stop posting. That's my goal.
But there's a certain amount of wit that bleeds through either through the tweets or through the podcast. And it seems like we talked about on the podcast, you and Heath have a yes and.
Yeah.
But that's something beautiful rises out of that, like the whole wizard on the casting couch. How in the, like, is wit naturally coming from you, or is it a nature versus nurture kind of thing? Did you nurture it versus, or you've always had it, like Oscar Wilde always had it?
Here's the thing. It's impossible to tell because my dad was always really funny. And so that was sort of the culture of the household. I was the oldest, and it was at dinner, everybody getting together to try to make each other laugh. Mm-hmm. And if you could make everybody else laugh more than they made you laugh, you win. So it's like...
So you're verbally asserting your dominance at the
dinner
table.
Exactly, exactly. It's like being raised in a dojo or like in Sparta, like how they would throw a weak baby into the bone pit. If you're not funny, you get thrown into the bone pit.
My favorite thing out of all of this right now is we talked about the podcast that you guys work on. Initially, And we were talking about how there is no dominant personality.
No, zero alphas.
Exactly. But everything before this has been about asserting your dominance, either to a child on stage or at the dinner table with your family.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, comedy's, I guess, sort of a way to do that. Or if not to assert dominance, then at least to disarm.
Okay.
To make it not a contest.
Okay, interesting.
I think that's more of a way to... That's more the way I'd say it.
Okay. That's beautiful in a way. I sent you a list of questions, which I've completely veered off of from here. But let's talk about how... Do you think comedy ages like a fine wine, in a sense? Because I think, like, if you think back to, say, Looney Tunes, or you think of, the comedy has changed so much over time. We don't necessarily think of, and I know that kids usually derive humor from, you know, hitting someone or like something funny happening to someone, slime getting dumped on someone's head from the Nickelodeon echelon over there.
Yeah.
But do you think that because we look at Looney Tunes now, we're like, that was obviously promoting violence, and but you can still kind of enjoy it, or you can think of like Robin Williams' performance in Aladdin, which was obviously, you know, it's something that you can kind of enjoy, but stealing words from Condoleezza Rice here, were these men or jokes of their time which we should enjoy kind of like in a time capsule? Or is it something that we should kind of like leave there in its time and not necessarily, you know, like look back?
I think that over time stuff gets filtered out, and the really good, there is really good stuff that just will stand up forever. There are Looney Tunes sketches that are brilliant to this day. The Duck Amuck one, where Daffy Duck is being drawn by animator Bugs and just has to fight his way through this universe that he has no control over, is brilliant.
I mean, hey, you know, that's a good metaphor for life.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
have no control over this.
Exactly. And you just get to watch this indignant duck just be real mad for 5 minutes or whatever, and it's incredibly satisfying. I think the same thing with the Marx Brothers will stay forever. Because the Marx Brothers built those jokes out of adamantium. Do you know how about... okay. So the way the Marx Brothers wrote those movies is they would write it as a vaudeville play, and they would tour it around the whole country for a year. And every night they would take out all the jokes that didn't work from the night before and write a shitload of new jokes for that night's performance. So that by the end of the tour, they had honed it down. They'd written millions of jokes and honed it down to only the best ones, which is why those movies are so, so dense.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting way of going about it. Like, so with you, in specific, like whenever you're up on the stage, how often do you retry jokes that may have not worked the previous
time? All the time.
All the time.
You got it. Because if you've got an idea that you know is good, then you just hammer away at it. And that's why comedians talk about, like, beating their head against a wall for 2 months or whatever, trying to work out jokes, is because if you know something's there, you can work on it for 2 months and then suddenly hit it, and it's your new favorite joke.
It's just the wording, or like, maybe how this would drive me mad. Absolutely. Because you don't, like, you got a mixed bag in there that you can't necessarily see because of the light shining on you. You have no idea where this audience has been, where they're coming from, what their comedy style is. So how much is it like you thinking it's like, okay, it's my delivery, or it's just them. It's their fault.
That's something you kind of develop an ability to discern on a case-by-case basis. If something's not working in any of the rooms you're doing, it's you.
Okay. All right.
But by the same token, if there's one joke that you're doing that always crushes, but only at one specific mic with one specific kind of people, you got to rework it. Like, I had jokes that only worked at the poetry open mic at Sauced. And I'm like, listen, these are great jokes. These are obviously some of my smartest jokes, but I got to rework them like for a broader audience. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, Sauced is over the Paseo, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
it's a poetry open mic, primarily.
There you go. That answers my question before. You'd already said that before as well. So, how much of comedy You said that it's a compulsion that you have to do. When did this love affair actually manifest itself? Like, in the sense that you knew that you were going to walk up to a mic and you were going to start. And what were the moments before like?
I think I kind of always knew. I went to music school for music. I went to ACM for vocal performance, but I think that was just because you couldn't go to school for stand up. And I was just like, well, it's a performing thing. It's something I like a lot. You know, I could do this, or I could teach it or whatever with this degree. But then like 3 years in, I realized, oh no, who am I kidding?
It's always you've written the check.
Yeah.
You're like, this is the way I'm going. And then you realize at the third year, your junior year that you're like, this isn't what I want to do. Yeah. That's what gets me about, just the college experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that you learned rhythm through going to school. And then that's kind of how you, you've incorporated that rhythm into, your jokes, almost kind of having a musicality to it, or,
I like that. Yeah, I try to...
Because we were talking earlier and you said, it's Heath and Alex because there's a rhythm, there's a delivery to it, and it has to be that way.
No, I am intentional about it because some things just don't sound right if you switch the words around. Heath and Alex, the emphasis, I don't know.
It just has to be that way.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. And, whenever you see something, whenever you feel something, you have to go with your gut.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can appreciate that for what it is.
It's because Americans always emphasize the second half of their words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like so bacchanalia.
There we go.
Yeah.
It has something to do just a little bit with the ego. So like, were you the one that made this final decision?
I think there was never a fight about it. You know what I mean? It was just like, we'll do, and I was like, how about Heath and Alex? Cause I liked the rhythm of that. And also like,
you're the star.
Well, no, it's, I don't want to fight about who gets to have their name first. Like, okay. I was willing to give that up because it does not matter at all.
The content matters. From everything you guys have main topics.
Yeah.
But the stuff that gets me is the little stuff. It's the minutiae. Yeah. Being comedians, talking about things that pertain to religion, how do you handle that with a certain sense of sensitivity? And don't go too far. Has there been discussions about this, or is it just something you feel?
It's just something we feel. I think we both, and the reason the podcast works so well is because Heath and I are so on the same page about the tone of what we want, because we never at any point wanted it to be a making fun of church thing as much as a way to hopefully bring about a greater understanding of what that whole world is and can do in a positive way. Because even though, I mean, at least for me, I haven't, super believed in God since, who knows. Yeah. But I still went to church long after, because there's something real there. There's something in that world, in that people coming together kind of thing, that I think is important and should be talked about.
Okay. No, and I definitely understand that. I think there are circles that, like, there are militant atheists that I'm very good friends with that also kind of have created their own church in a sense. They get together, and there's something that happens there, and that's very nice. But in the same time, it's easy to get off on tangents about things that or institutions that have burnt you,
sure.
i.e. in their eyes, a lot of times that's the church, and I can't really get into that personally.
Yeah.
But what I really enjoy about you guys' podcast is that typically Christian music is the butt end of a joke.
Yeah.
If you can, those who do not, who can't teach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those who can't play music, play Christian music.
Right.
And so you guys are coming at this from an unabashed, loving standpoint of both being your Christian music, which is usually the butt end of the joke, but also enjoying it from a completely what I would say either atheist or agnostic standpoint.
Right.
A loving way, though.
Yeah.
You're like, this is not necessarily a part of me anymore, but it's still a part of me in a sense. And I definitely appreciate that vantage point because it's something you don't see. In this world that is so divisive exactly. and so on opposite sides of things, it's really nice to have a middle of the road conversation. And in some small way or in some big way, you guys are doing that. And I appreciate that
yeah.
to no end. And you guys are doing that comedically. And yeah. so all of that works. I really appreciate everything you're doing. This podcast episode will be going up tomorrow. Is there anything?
Wow. Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to plug so people know that it, since it's coming up so soon? Usually podcasts are recorded like 2 or 3 weeks in advance. Today is it's being recorded the day of.
That's pretty good. No, I don't really have any shows coming up anytime soon. I would just say listen to The Praise Down. Find it on iTunes or whatever your podcatcher is. will show up and then come to my open mic if you want. If you got something fun to do or if you just want to hang out with a bunch of nerds.
Is that a weekly thing?
It is a weekly thing. Every Sunday, sign up is at 6:30. The mic starts at 7 and it is at the venue.
Okay.
In the Plaza District right across from Empire.
There you go. Thank you so much for being on and we appreciate you being on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any social media means that you'd like to plug for yourself personally?
Absolutely. Everybody, legally by listening to this episode, you have to follow me on Twitter at Sirius Sanchez and follow The Praise Down on Twitter at The Praise Down and, tweet us, whether or not you think Frieza is horny.
Oh, it's definitely, he definitely is horny.
Definitely horny, yeah.
well, as always, you can find me, listeners, at Daniel Does OKC on both Instagram and Twitter. You know, kind of like Debbie Does Dallas, but mm-hmm. Daniel Does OKC. Yeah. you know, you can always find me on Facebook as well, which I've been trying to wean myself off of. Doesn't really work. You can find me at my full name at The Pretentiousness, Daniel Aaron Austin. Mm-hmm. And you can find Voice of the Artist, you know, on our website that we are going to be revamping very soon.
Ooh.
And making it look like it's not from 2001 from a web designer that didn't know what he was doing.
That's a shame. I kind of like the GeoCities feel. For a website.
It's painful. But we will be revamping that very soon. And you can find us on all of our, you know, social media means that will be in the show notes of this on our website, or you can find it at Votapod on both you know, Twitter and Instagram. Find us online at our Facebook page, and that's enough of pimping myself out personally. Alex, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And we'll see you all on the next episode of the Voice of the Artist podcast.
Yep, featuring me again.
Oh, double feature. Thank you so much.
Thank you.